Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for April 5, Resurrection Sunday, and week 12 of our study of the life of Christ as recorded in the Gospel of Mark. I'm Dan Nygaard. Every year, Christmas through Easter, we focus upon the life of Christ. This year, we have been using the Gospel of Mark. Leaders of the early church claimed that the Gospel of Mark records Peter's recollections of his experiences with Jesus as one of Jesus' chosen 12 apostles. A man named Papias, who was born about the year 60, and was an acquaintance of the Apostle John, wrote this about the Gospel of Mark. Mark became Peter's interpreter and wrote down accurately all that he, Peter, remembered, whether the sayings or doings of the Lord. Peter was accustomed to teach as the occasion required, so Mark made no mistake in writing down Peter's recollections. The book of Mark is included in the New Testament because the early church leaders understood Mark was a disciple of Peter. Mark wrote down and compiled Peter's recollections of his years with Jesus. And it was about the time Peter was executed in Rome by the Romans that Mark compiled Peter's stories about Jesus. That composition became known as the Gospel of Mark. Easter Sunday, it is very customary and altogether fitting for Christians and for the church to talk about Jesus' resurrection. I'm going to do something a little different this Easter. Today, rather than talking about the resurrection, I shall simply read aloud the Apostle Peter's recollection of Jesus' resurrection as recorded in the Gospel of Mark. I invite you to listen carefully to the story that changed human history. We pick up the Apostle Peter's account as recorded in the Gospel of Mark immediately after Jesus has celebrated a last Passover with his apostles in Jerusalem. Jesus has led his apostles just outside the walls of Jerusalem to an olive garden. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death," he said. "Stay here, keep watch." Going a little further, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, Jesus went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. Ashamed, they did not know what to say to Jesus. Returning the third time, Jesus said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12 apostles, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with him. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, asked Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted Jesus and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There Peter sat with the guard and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against Jesus. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned Jesus as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him and struck him with their fists and said, Prophesy! The temple guards took him and beat him. Meanwhile, Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. Peter denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing nearby, This fellow is one of them. Again, Peter denied it. After a little while, those standing nearby said to Peter, Surely, you are one of them. For you are a Galilean. Peter began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately, the rooster crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, so again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" But Jesus still made no reply. Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the Passover festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man named Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder during an uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The Roman soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on Jesus, twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. After they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but Jesus did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against Jesus read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from that cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with Jesus also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed Jesus and cared for his needs. Many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, Pilate asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where Jesus was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That is the concluding sentence of the Gospel of Mark. The earliest ancient manuscripts we have of the Gospel of Mark concludes, "They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." In your Bible, the Gospel of Mark continues verses 9 through 20, but in your Bible, you will also find a footnote clarifying that the most ancient and most reliable manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark end with verse 8, with the women saying nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That is how the Vaticanus manuscript from the 4th century ends, as well as the Sinaiticus, also from the 4th century. Also, an old Latin manuscript, the Sinaitic Syriac manuscript, several Armenian manuscripts, the manuscript Addish and Opusa from the country of Georgia, as well as several manuscripts from Ethiopia. The early church leader Eusebius in the 4th century wrote that accurate copies of the Gospel of Mark end with the women saying nothing to anyone. Jerome, who died about 420, wrote that almost all Greek codices do not have the concluding section, verses 9 through 20. Somewhere in the 2nd or 3rd century, a scribe or some scribes added verses 9 through 20. It was their effort, it was a sincere effort to complete, to bring resolution to the story. And what they added was simply a summation from the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John, as well as the book of Acts. But this leaves us with the problem and a question. Why does the Gospel of Mark conclude without resurrection appearances? We can find Jesus appearing to various people after his resurrection. Matthew chapter 28 accounts how Jesus appeared to women. Luke chapter 24, Jesus appears to his apostles inside Jerusalem. In John chapter 20 is a wonderful story of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene right outside the tomb. Mark does not include resurrection appearances of Jesus. And for centuries, critics have claimed that this represents contradictory evidence about Jesus' resurrection. But in fact, the ending of Mark, the short ending of Mark, Mark ending with the women trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. In fact, that reflects a brilliant, Holy Spirit-inspired composition that provokes truth-seeking. The Holy Spirit inspired Mark to provoke inquiry by the listeners. Ending with the women fleeing the tomb and saying nothing to anyone, a listener cannot help but ask, then what happened? And a listener cannot help but wonder, what does it all mean? Finally, a listener would be prompted to ask, what does it mean for me? The Gospel of Mark invites your response. Mark chapter 16, verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the empty tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. How do you respond to that story? Do you run from the resurrection? Do you avoid the resurrection? Do you just want to get away from the story? Or do you find the resurrection too fearful? Do you prefer, as do many in our culture today, to censor the resurrection, to deny it, just don't talk about it? Or you could believe the resurrection. Before the women flee the tomb, they first went inside the tomb, and inside they meet what the scriptures describe as a young man wearing a robe of white. This young man is commonly and appropriately understood to have been an angel because the other gospel accounts record angels hanging out around Jesus' empty tomb, and because in the Gospel of Mark itself, he's playing such a strange and odd and important role. This angelic being announces to the women in verse 6 of Mark chapter 16, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen." Without documenting a post-resurrection encounter with Jesus, the Gospel of Mark provided first century and provides 21st century listeners with testimony that Jesus is risen. Testimony both from heaven, from the angel, and testimony from this material world, the empty tomb. And there is our hope. Jesus is risen. Listen again to the angel in the tomb. Mark chapter 16, verses 6 through 7. "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." That message delivered to the startled women inside an empty tomb is delivered to us today. Do not be alarmed by disappointment, by defeat, by despair, by doom. Do not be alarmed by death itself. Believe the heavenly witness that Jesus is alive. Believe the material witness the empty tomb. Embrace the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. He has conquered death. Jesus is alive. And go and tell others. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. You will see him, that is Jesus, just as he told you.